When Jesus died on the cross, he traded his perfect life for our sin. In the same way, the enemy wants us to trade his lives for our freedom while giving to God always results in an increase. See, when we partner with Jesus, when we partner with the works of the cross, there is an increase. When we partner with anything else, there is a decrease. It's a basic principle. This week, I was watching a show with my child, and they were talking about how when you take something away, that something else fills the spot. Y'all know the teaching of, is it half full, is it half empty? Does it mean that, how do you look at things? Are you a positive, negative person? But there's actually a different level to that. So this is full, and saying I'm pouring it into this. I'll do a little switch here rather than doing it. Then this, we would think it's empty. But the truth is, something filled the space. Air filled the space. Oxygen filled the space. That something filled it. So as we're talking about trades, it's just not what we're trading in, but it's what we're getting in return. So I was praying and I was asking the Lord at different aspects of trades or trades that were existing in my life. What was I trading in and what was I getting in return? And I often put an emphasis on what I want rather than what I want to give up. And so the Holy Spirit was just melding my heart with those things that I needed to give up or those strongholds or those things because I wanted more. I wanted the increase. As much as I pray about increase and things increasing, greater anointing, greater that, do I think about the decrease? To be as excited for that decrease of things as the increase of the Lord coming in. And so I asked the Lord, I was like, what is the biggest things? Just not for me, but what do I feel like is those things in the body of Christ, those things that we need to decrease so we can be into the fullness of the increase. And there is four things. One is the old man for the new man. The complete work on the cross. Those things in us that is old that connects us to those ways of thinking, to connect us to those things that we once thought we were, that we are no longer because we are a new creation in the body of Christ. We talk about the new song. We talk about the new morning. We talk about there's going to be a new earth, the new Jerusalem. We're filled with these ideas of things that are new and exciting. And there's a check. There's a check in the spirit of, well, what is old? Because if I'm receiving the new things of the kingdom of God, the new wine, what is the old that I'm putting out? What's the old that I'm getting rid of? So old man to the new man. Trading in judgment for mercy. I think this is a big one, especially right now in our society. I have never seen in my lifetimes things to be so divided. I've never seen people so easily to jump at judgment for the people that don't identify with their beliefs, identify with their thoughts. We see it politically, we see it throughout. And I don't have to agree with you. It doesn't have to line up with who I think I am, who the Bible says that we are, what is the truth. But love. Love changes every fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. I don't have to fear what they're caught up in because I have a perfect love that's going to cast that out. My judgment isn't going to cast it out. My perfect love is going to cast it out. But for this love, there's a decrease and there's an increase of the perfect love. So what is it that I need to get out so I receive more of perfect love? Judgment is a big one. The fear that I talked about is one of the largest strongholds that everyone has. I think it's a big thing. Even though if we don't think we have it, it exists about something. It's always, showing its head in every circumstance and situation. And you have to go, fear, I choose faith. Fear, you are decreasing. Faith is increasing in my life. And the fourth is earthly riches for the kingdom of heaven riches. So those are the four things, at least that the Lord showed me, that we need to lay hold of. The old man to the new man, new in the life of Christ. Ephesians 4:17. I'm going to actually read this chapter, so you can go there. So the title of this is Instructions for Christian Living, which is basically our new life. When we accept Christ, we have a new life. We come into this Christian living, this thing that's different than the way that we lived before. That earthly living, we're doing trades. We're trading in the earthly living for the Christian living. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. And the fatality of their thinking. Okay, so we have new knowledge, we have new thinking, we trade in the old thinking, receive the new. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to hardening of their hearts. Okay, so we're trading in judgment for mercy this morning. Doesn't that make it sound like that's really something easy that you could judge people over? The darkness and understanding separated from life of God because of the ignorance and the hardening of their hearts. Your heart is hard and you're ignorant. Does that not sound like judgment? Isn't it easy to get root? Oh, we're Christians, we have arrived, it's this and that. But that's not what it's saying. It's recognizing what's not correct, but we have a love that can go in and change things, can bring that person out of the darkness into the way of Jesus, into the way of life. Having lost all sensitivity, that they have given themselves over into the sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of improper acts and full of greed. That, however, is not the way of the life you learned. See, because the Lord taught us something different. When we accepted Jesus, we're different than the world. And when I was reading this, I was thinking, oh, this is New Testament, by the way. I was thinking, oh, that just seems judgmental. That seems old. We love everybody. You know, you make bad choices. The peace of God, that, I'm not to judge. But the truth is, there's a difference between judging and setting an example that there is the creator of the inner universe in me. There is the Jesus that loves people in me and manifesting that to the kingdom of God. And that's what I want to manifest. I want to decrease that in me and increase the presence of the Lord. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self. Okay, here's that first trade we're talking about. We're talking about putting off the old self and putting on the new self. I know some of us were raised in the church. Some of us have different backgrounds. Some of us had to completely change a lot about ourselves through the mercy and grace and power of the Holy Spirit of Jesus to come into this Christian walk. We all do, regardless of your testimony. But there is a power of transforming. There is a power of changing that the Lord is doing. But you know what? He's just not doing it. We are responsible for part of that. We have to trade it in. We have to trade it in. And I'm here to say that trade is good. It is good. I would trade in my own old life any day for the life of the kingdom of God. In fact, it's like I thought, I'm using the analogy of trading in a car. I thought the old car that I had was really cool. I thought it was really fashionable. I thought it was fast. I thought when people looked at me in the car, they were envious of it, and everybody wanted my car. Okay, that's the former life, car analogy. And so then when I realized this car was about, the transmission was about to go out, the engine was about dead, that it wasn't as great as I thought, I went to trade it in. But someone showed me Jesus, and that the trade was good. And I have to tell you, when I traded it in, I was shocked that my new car didn't have a loan or it didn't have a payment, that it was free. There was a celebration in that. People laugh because the first, when they think about my story or that, the first year that I knew the Lord, I was in this bliss of what the Lord did for me. I was in this amazement of the power of the Holy Spirit and how it took from one thing and gave to another. I was in this perfect euphoria. Then later, the trading started to happen. There had to be things I had to give up. There had to be past wounds. There had to be past hurts. And when I saw that car, I was so excited to get it, but there was times I was thinking, well, this car doesn't look like anything I've ever driven before. I don't know about this. It's kind of like you traded in the sports car for the minivan. It's like, this is functioning differently. This is looking differently. I feel awkward in this van. I didn't feel awkward in my sports car, but I feel awkward in this van the Lord's given me. But I'm happy because it was free, it was paid. So as you decrease, as you give things up, you know what? This happened in the physical as well. I don't have a minivan. But while I was giving up, the increase came, and that minivan's full now. And I love it. I wouldn't go back to that sports car, even though it was cool. So that is the trade. That is an analogy, a new way of life. To be made new in attitude of your mind. To be put on the new self, created to be like God, true righteousness and holiness. That sounds like a lot to be. That can seem overwhelming. The grace of Jesus through the power of God, it is not overwhelming because that is who he's made us. That is who he's made us in the Spirit. And so, Lord, we trade. We continue to trade. We continue to trade that old man. We have to understand that we are a new creation, that we're perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ, but there's still trades going on. I was still trading part of who I was this week for something better. Therefore, each of you must put off the falsehood of speaking truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of the body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. See that foothold, that giving him a foothold? That old clunker that you traded in that you thought was so cool and is very old now and broken down, it can come right back up in the life. Lord, we trade the foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, and they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of the mouths, but only what is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. See, there's a community work going on there. We trade from glory to glory. We trade that old man for the new man, but it comes for the glory of God being seen in the testimony of the saints, being seen in our community here, but also requires the effort of other people. It's interesting when you're in a relationship, things don't hit so hard. When you know that someone loves you unconditionally, it doesn't hit so hard. When you've walked through things that are difficult, it doesn't hit so hard. That there is a relationship, that there's a community. And if it does hit, it can hit kind of hard. But you know the heart that's behind it. So that's a trade right then. Lord, I thank you for the community of Jesus Christ. I thank you for the relationships of brother and sisters. And Lord, we receive new relationships, new community, that we go deeper with each other, that we go deeper in our relationships, that we let the past hurts, the past wounds, these things talking about fall off to the side, and that we say we want more because we see Jesus being represented in that. We see the wholeness of God. See, because we are alive. We are alive in Christ, that we are new. I've been focusing in on this new. What does new mean? New of origin, new of being, something different that we haven't seen before. What is new? And what is our definition of an earthly new to a worldly new? Over vacation, I was in a part of the country that they call New England, and there's really not that much new about it. Actually, it's kind of old in a lot of ways, but just not old to this country. But there is this thing, this connection with Europe. Here, this country was settled from people coming out of their tyranny, out of their religious system, looking for something new, looking for the freedom. So let's go across the ocean and have this new place and freedom thing. And what's the first thing we do? We start naming everything after what we just came from. It's like every city, every county, everything there is named after something in Europe. And the Lord was telling me that is an earthly new. That in our minds, we want to be like, we got this new land, we got this new territory, but I kind of like some things in the past. So let me name it this or let me name it that, because it kind of resembles the past, but I'm new. But it's still holding part of that onto me. And you see, when you take that new, it's almost like a curse. Like regionally, I was interested in visiting this land, which we go every summer, and I thought, this is interesting, because this is more like Europe a lot than America, at least the America I know. Some of the attitudes, some of the political beliefs, it's very European, actually, for this country. And the Lord was like, well, they took it. They took the title, New England. They took it. So what are we taking? So what are we taking? The new Kevin? The new Christ? The new Jesus? By the power of him, I am new. But you see, that region held on. They didn't make a full trade, did they? They held on to their European roots. They didn't fully trade it for what the Lord has. I feel like there's something on that. Lord, we give you the things that we think are new, that we have titled new, but they're really not. They're the old things that we've held on to for far too long. But it's because of what was comfortable. It's what was familiar. It's what we were in touch with. We give that over to you today, Lord, and we say we take the fullness of new. The fullness of one new man. Why does it have to be painful? The giving up of things. I don't think it's really painful. I think it's uncomfortable because it's what you're familiar with. It's easier. I had this opportunity to be really selfish this week, and I really wanted to take it really bad. It would have made some things a lot easier in life. And I actually thought about it, and it actually was with me for almost a day, 24 hours. And I was like, ah. I was like, that's a trade that has happened, but I need to trade deeper. That's not who I am. That's an easy way out. So let God be glorified in it, not me. But there's a fruit of the change. There's life in the change. Colossians 2, chapter 3, verse 5. Well, maybe the things that we still have to trade are not this huge. I don't know. Maybe they are for some of you. I don't really know what the idea of huge is compared to that. It's all sin. It's all bad. It's all not who we were created to be. And we're not because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't live in that sin or of that. But there are things that we need to put to death. Verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. See, we're trading our earthly nature for the kingdom of God. That's what we've been learning Thursday nights. We're trading into the kingdom of God, the nature of the kingdom, the nature of the court of heaven, the nature of the Holy Spirit. So that's a pretty powerful statement, put to death. Lord, we put to death. We say you're dead. And that thing, whatever it may be for us, selfish ambition, whatever it is, if you try to come back, we're going to remind you, you were dead because we have traded that in for the fullness of living in Christ. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. This is a hard teaching. I love the Father's heart, and I love the Father's love for me, and I love the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. But there's a part of us that has to change constantly. Not that we're not forgiven, not that we're not loved by a Father, not that there isn't all those things that come from that, but the Lord is transforming us so the world can see that we're different. Have you, those of you that have been in the Lord for a while, have you ever ran into someone from your past? Is that not a testimony of what the Lord has done for you? I was in Evansville recently, and I ran into people from high school, and they didn't recognize me. But what's crazy is I recognized them. There wasn't any change. It's like I took a step back in 20 years. I was like, thank you, God. Thank you that I was able to trade in things for the new person, for the new Kevin. So you used to walk in these ways in that life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on your new self. We're talking about new. We have put on our new selves. Lord, we receive our new self even more today than ever before, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. We are being renewed in His image, the Creator of the universe. All creativity is given to us. Are you tired of what you're doing, where you're at? All creativity has been given to you to change that situation. The new person has all creativity. The old person just duplicated what everybody else was doing and tried to be cool about it. See, when you're walking in your new self, you're not trying to appease people pleasing, all those people trying to be cool, trying to be, I don't even know what's a cool word for cool these days. I'm not even going to try that, but which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of the Creator. So, Lord, we thank you that you're our Creator and we're in your image. The truth is, you're God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. We are clothed in compassion, humility, gentleness, and patience. So that was the trade. We traded things in for those. That old man, we have that new man with humility, gentleness. But of all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So, Lord, we put on love today. We put on the love of Jesus. We love you, Lord. So, that was the old man for the new man. And this goes right into the next trade that I was talking about earlier, judgment for mercy. What do you hear most often from the new Christian or from people that's been in the church for a long time? I just feel so judged. I feel like I'm not understood. I feel like I'm always being judged. I feel like they're so judgmental. They just don't understand. They're judging me because they don't understand. See, there's this disconnect that happens. And sometimes it's the truth, and sometimes it's a lie, because you're rooted in insecurity, and you feel like people are judging you all the time. But sometimes the truth is, you are being judged. But as Christians, as we accept this new life, the Lord tells us not to judge. The Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. I want mercy. I know God gives me mercy. I want mercy from the community of the body of Christ. I gotta give that mercy out. That song, Mercy is Falling Like the Sweet Rain, that was one of our songs that we were originally rooted in this fellowship. And I always perceive that as the Lord raining mercy down from heaven, which is probably how it's meant to be. But what if we were the body, we were the rain, that we had complete mercy, that we walked in the mercy of God constantly? And so you might be thinking, oh, well, I'm humble, I'm in mercy, I'm that. Well, I'll be the first to say that I'm not. I think we all have our parts or our regions that we have to trade in that isn't that. And the Lord was showing me this week, I had a definite opinion about something. And I was like, it's my opinion. I'm like, I'm not being judgmental, it's my opinion. See, I was taking an easy way out. And then I get in the car and I'm driving and I'm like, I had a really strong opinion about that. And I don't really know if it was mercy as well as my opinion. Why is it that when we have an opinion and people don't agree with us, we immediately, oftentimes, can take it personally? So I thought I was past that. I've been trying to have a more easy, laid-back kind of attitude, like, whatever, that's okay, because I'm a passionate person, and if I'm really passionate about my opinion, I want you to know. But the Lord was like, let it rest, because I am doing a work in that. I am doing a work in that opinion. I am doing a work in that new creation that I'm creating there. I have a piece on that. I have part of that. That is not your place. Take a step back, because even something as a little opinion can be a judgment. James 2. This chapter is so full of trading things in. And so much the part of the body of Christ. So, I mean, it's another way of living in the Christian walk. James 2. My brothers and sisters, believers in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing the fine clothes and says, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there and sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? See, that's the new Christian living. That's the new man. That's the new body of Christ, is that we don't perceive things that way. We're part of the Christian community. The community that I was once in before knowing the Lord, we were very judgmental and critical on how someone looked. Because there's such an importance that was put on that, on the visual. But that is not how we are in the body of Christ, or who we need to be in the body of Christ. So, Lord, we thank you that you're trading opinions or our thought habits or what we think about someone by the visual. What we think might be going on, what we think they have going on, those things that we visually see that make us think of thoughts. Lord, we thank you that we don't look at the visual of people and don't judge, but we see people through the mercy of heaven, the mercy for one another. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom and promises, those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragged you into the court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming that are noble to whom you belong? Love your neighbor as yourself. It's another trade. I'm trading how I want to love, how I've known love in the past, for loving someone as I love myself. And I think there's a freedom in that. I think the more we love each other, the more the humility, the more the giving up, the more the things come. Now, the old man, the before Jesus, compared to the new man, I love myself a lot. I was all about me. In fact, I'm not sure why I had any friends, because conversation normally evolved all about me, because I love myself so much. But as you give things in, as you give that and you allow the creator of the universe to recreate, we change from glory to glory. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That is one of my favorite scriptures. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Some people take that, which very well could be, that as we give mercy, that we don't deal with judgment from the Lord. I also think it's relational. As I give out mercy, I've seen it in my own life, as I give out mercy, there is less judgment that comes back. It's that trade. I'm trading my judgments for the mercies of heaven. And when I'm caught up in the trade, it impacts my life with everyone, in my community, in my family, whatever. So, Lord, we thank you for the trade. We thank you for the trade of heaven. And I was sharing at the beginning how we live in a society that seems very judgmental these days. And I used to not notice it, but when it impacts people that you love or it impacts things, you start noticing how early it even begins, even in childhood. And how much it can change a person's life by just what they're exposed to from the beginning. So my wife and I, we share like the stay-at-home responsibilities, and I spend a few days with the kids, she spends a few days with the kids. And I just want to give freedom to the mothers out there. The mercy of God in that, because I feel like the world really judges mothers. Even maybe more so than fathers or anything else. There is this thing, I don't understand it, I don't get it. I took my daughter to the zoo last weekend by myself, so it was just me and my daughter, and I'm treated like royalty. Because people are like, oh, look at that dad with his kids, he's being such a great father. And whenever I'm with my girls and it's just me and the girls, there's this thing that society puts on it. The wives, the single women, everything. It's like, oh, wow, you're such a great dad. Do you know how often you hear that? Oh, what a great dad. Really, I'm just being a dad. I don't know if it's because there's an absence in society of that, and so they see it. I don't know what it is. But I was running to the store, and I was just seeing the girls. They were in their pajamas. Actually, I was in my pajamas. Which a lot of people don't know that about me, because you think, you know, like I do care about my clothes and how I look. But there's also a side of me that's kind of like, oh, let's just jump in the car and go to the store in my pajamas. Yes. I mean, it, you get busy with school, you get busy with everything. I mean, those days I'm with the girls, I mean, I usually wear the same clothes, and I mean, bathing sometimes doesn't happen. It's not the things that you would think would be me, but they are. So we go to the grocery, and the girl's hair is all messed up, and they're in pajamas, and I'm like that, and my wife asked me, what are you doing? And I'm like, we're at the store, and she was like, one of the kids was doing something cute, and she was at work, so I was like, oh, I'll give her like, you know, a break from work, and she can see what the kids are doing. And she's like, are you serious? You like left the house like that with the kids? And I was like, yeah. And I didn't know what that was about, because I was still getting the compliments for being this father, when probably people were thinking, oh, he's trying so hard to dress these kids and, you know, we'll tell him he's a good father. And when I got home, I was like, what is going on here? Like, why are you so concerned about this and how the kids look and everything? And she said, because, she's like, if I went out like that, I would be judged. I'm like, no, you want it. You're just too concerned what people think. You know, I was just like, no, that's not true. That wouldn't be. And she's like, no, it really is. And I stepped back and I looked into all these instances, and it was like, yeah. It was like women, a lot of times mothers, if they work, you know, they're working. They're going to the store. They still have to be this mother. They have to be all these things. And I don't think they get all the compliments of, you're a great mother. Because that's their duty, is to be with the kids. But they're a great mother. They're a great mother. They feel like they have to do it all. Great mother. All right. Number three. We have four trades today. Trading my fear for faith. Are these all not like the big ones? Oh my goodness. Judgment, mercy, old man for new man. Fear for faith. Can you put the slide up? Psalm 56:4. Oh, no one's back there. Okay. I'll read it to you. In God I will trust, I shall not be afraid. In God I will trust, I shall not be afraid. I had this book when I first became a Christian, and I have dealt with fear most of my life, and still at points do, and there's all these scriptures that are listed about dealing with fear. Just these simple sentences, and I cannot tell you how many times I have had to use those. That you see? Whoa. It's a trade. I never realized it was a trade before. In God I will trust, I shall not be afraid. I am trading my fear for trust. I probably read that verse to thousands of times over the years. It's the act of trading. I give you my fear. I receive trust. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I'm trading that fear for power, for love and self-control. It's a trade. There, 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. That's actually in King James. It's the only one that says fear has torment. I hate anxiety, which is basically rooted in fear. I hate it. I have gone through seasons of being tormented. It's a torment. When you can't sleep and you have this anxiety, it's that. But it's a trade, because his love is perfect. His love is perfect. Trading the fear for perfect love. So the Lord's given me a couple things prophetically over the past weeks as we're talking about trades. And we all can relate differently to this one. Some of us live this, or we've lived seasons of this, or some people don't live seasons of it, but it's a mentality over our finances where it's just not enough, or we live paycheck to paycheck. Some of you are going, yes, paycheck to paycheck. You know, you're like, I've lived my whole life that way. Some people are thinking. Some people, we have seasons of that. But when I was praying about that mentality of, have I done enough to pay this? Have I done enough to get me through this? That I'm going to trade that mentality for his glory. That we live glory to glory. That we live from financial wealth and an abundance of heaven in his glory. And that me, by limiting this way of thinking, I am cutting off the full blessing of his glory. Because I'm already perceiving, I get such and such money at this date, I have such and such bills at this date, then it should equal this. Is limiting things to happen because I'm putting it on a schedule. I'm putting it on my paycheck schedule. I'm not leaving room for brother such and such to drop me a check for $1,000. Because I'm not thinking the glory of God showing up and giving. I want to limit it to the two pay cycles of a month. So, Lord, we give you this mentality that thinks, oh, this is how it should happen, that doesn't make room for the surprise of the glory. So I had a surprise this week, speaking of fear and angst. I'm doing so much better when it comes to these things. So I knew it was going to be bad, and it really wasn't bad. I was kind of shocked, the disclaimer that Heather gave me before I got the news. But she's come in, and she's like, I have to tell you something. And she's like, I don't want you to freak out. She's like, I have to tell you something. I don't want to freak out. And immediately, I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is serious. You know, this is like this. I'm like, I'm like sweating. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what is this going to be? That's like, And you already go into that mentality of, all right, great, something else, another something happening. I already went into this thought of what's going to happen. I was like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? And she's kind of exuberant and passionate type person. So it felt like it was a lot more than it actually was. And she's like, don't freak out. And so I'm thinking, I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to freak out. I was like, okay. And there's like a pause. And I'm like, okay, what's going on like that? And she's like, the check engine light is on her car. And my immediate thought was, my goodness, who does she think I'm going to freak out that bad over a check engine light? You know, because there's this huge disclaimer before. And so I was like, maybe it's the gas cap, and this particular car doesn't have a gas cap. It's an automatic shutoff. And I'm like, it's fine. God will take care of it. It's fine. I'm like, I am not going to get anxious. I'm not going to. The old Kevin would have been like, ugh. You've seen the commercial, you know, transmissions are like 3,000, engines are 6. I'm not going to go there because it's probably nothing. But then I was bothered. I was like, man, she was like really afraid I was going to freak out. Do I freak out over stuff like that? And I was like, I can, yeah. Get me on the wrong day. But this was a good day, so I wasn't freaking out. So I was just like, you know what? It's just a check engine light. I am not going to let that bother me. I'm not going to let it bother me this week. We'll just get to it when we can. I'm like, now it's not blinking, is it? Because if it's blinking, it's much worse than if it's just on. We shouldn't be driving it. I'm like, just go ahead and drive it. I'm like, it's just a check engine light. I'm not going to worry about it. So a few days go by, and I'm like, I wasn't stressing out the few days. I was like, let me stop by AutoZone, and they do a reading and tell you what's wrong. And I'm like, please don't be anything major. Please don't be anything major. Please don't be anything major. A person was not very helpful and was saying a bunch of language that I did not understand. And he's like, it could be this, it could be that, it could be this. And I was like, oh, I do not like the answer here. So I went to another AutoZone, the one in Avon, not the one in Plainfield. Same person, type person, you know, this is working the desk. And he's like, it's probably not nothing. See, the other person was already, like, giving me all this stuff of, like, well, it could be this, it could be that, it could be this. And so I'm like, I'm not going to go there. And this guy's like, it's probably nothing. He's like, most people drive around with their engine lights on all the time. He's like, it's not that big of a deal. And he's like, but it could be something. So he does a reading, and he's like, well, I think it's this sensor. It was like a $50 sensor. I was like, great, you know, I can change, you know. Well, I can't change it, but I was like, that sounds like an easy fix. Because I don't know the difference between Phillips, regular screwdriver. It's not my thing. And so I'm like, well, can I change this? And he looks at me and he's like, well, you just do this. And he's like, yeah, you can change it. And I'm hearing it. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, I don't know. And so anyway, I was meeting with Steve the next day, and I'm like, Steve, can you change this for me? And he's like, yeah, sure. It's not that big of a deal. And again, I hear it's not that big of a deal. And so I go and we change it and the car is fine and all that. But throughout the process, there was attitudes and things that could have made me negative. The first AutoZone guy thought it was something serious. But I pressed in, the second one didn't think it was anything. We fixed it in like 10 minutes. But what would I have done before? Because that was the patience of the Lord and not freaking out. Anytime before, I probably ran it to the mechanic. They probably would have done much of stuff that didn't need to be done. I'd probably have a $600 or $700 bill. But I was like, I'm not giving in to that fear, and then whatever happens, happens, and it's going to work out this week, and it did work out this week. So number four, this is the last one. trading earthly riches for kingdom riches. Proverbs 16:16. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. Now, I think wisdom and insight can give you gold and silver. I'm not against gold and silver. I would love for the Lord to give me some insight on the stock market or something to get the gold and silver. Give me the wisdom to create that. Give me the insight to get that. So I'm not against the gold and silver. But what I didn't like about this is I don't like it taking precedence over the insight and wisdom. So it's a trade. The earthly knowledge, the earthly kingdom, the earthly riches for the riches of the kingdom of heaven. It's a trade. And I'm choosing to trade that. My father was someone who played the lottery every week his entire life. And Dad had it spent. It just wasn't playing the lottery every week. It was like, when I win the lottery, this is what I'm buying. This is what I'm getting. He had a vacation home. He had a big boat. He had all these things that he always wanted. And when he went to buy the lottery ticket, he was already living in that fantasy or that place that his mind was allowing to go. Because the lottery was chance or circumstance. He was waiting for the big payoff, the big jackpot, because that was going to answer all the shortages in his life. And what happens if he would have taken that luck or that circumstance and traded it for insight and wisdom? Maybe the gold and silver would have came through the insight and wisdom. This was about 15 years ago, and I was in a friend's wedding. And this doesn't sound as bad as it's going to, by any means. He lives in Phoenix. We had a bachelor party in Vegas, which that sounds really, but it wasn't, trust me. And so the groomsmen and everything, and we're going to Vegas. And actually, his dad was with us, so that can tell you. This wasn't your typical Vegas bachelor party. And I don't gamble. I'm not really into gambling. You know, I don't think it's good by any means. That's my opinion. At this particular thing, the father was giving out money because he's like, here, gamble. Here, gamble. You know, go ahead and do it. And I'm a very, like, logical thinking person. Like, gambling does not fit into my way of thinking. Right? Like, you know, if he's going to give me $100, I'm going to put it here and act like I'm gambling. That's not something I'm going to do because I'm like, that's money. I'm not a chance person. This is money. So I took it, and that's exactly what I planned to do. As I was watching everybody else have fun, I was like, I am not giving up this money he gave me. I'm not going to have fun. He comes up to me. He's like, I told you to have fun with it. He's like, take a chance. And I was like, ugh, I don't agree with this. And so I'm like, I go to the slot machine, you know, and I'm just, and it's amazing how much money a slot machine takes, like in no time. It's like you can go through $100 in like, you know, 5 minutes. It's crazy. And so I'm playing this, and I'm just like, you know, I'm like, this isn't really fun for me, because I'm like giving up money to pull this handle for the slim possibility of something happening. It did not register with me at all. And it was like painful. Every time I put something in, I was like, huh, this is fun, yeah. But it was like painful because I'm like, what? What is going on here? So anyway, use the money that he gave because that's what the father of the groom wanted to happen. And so I did it and everything like that. I was like, ugh. I was like, I can't believe I just went through that, you know. And so I'm walking away and I'm talking to someone, and I kid you not, this is the truth. The next person on that machine hit it. And I was immediately like, oh my goodness. I was like, I was on that machine for that long. And then the next person comes in and they hit it after, you know, I did all this. And it was chance and circumstance. And she was so excited, and she was like, jackpot, and, you know, I was all excited. And I was like, ugh. And you know how excited people get when they win the lottery or the game show or a jackpot? You know, jackpot, woo, yeah, you know. It's like they think it's going to change their whole lives, when most of them just end up broken a few years anyway. And it does change their lives. It doesn't change it for the better. So I was thinking about the jackpot when I was praying to God. And he was like, people give up chance, circumstance, all of these things for their dreams to come true. But it's a trade. Because my wisdom, my insight gives you a trade to those things that better the kingdom of God and better who you are. So trade those dreams of circumstance, those dreams of chances into the destiny of God. That it's a trade. I am trading chance for faith. I am trading the slim possibility to the fullness of the kingdom of God. That's the trade. And so last week I had this analogy and intercession, and I was like, jackpot. I was like, first of all, who is Jack and why are we taking his pot? Like, well, I don't even know what that word means. Jackpot. So the Lord was like, ugh, the world, situations and that. He's like, you should have the same excitement for when I blessed you. And I was like, oh, I was like, Jesus pot. So I was like, Jesus pot. Why not? Jesus pot. I imagine the pot comes from gold. I hope. The gold and silver, the knowledge is better. The insight is better. Jesus' pot of gold is knowledge and insight. And that's what we're going for. So I'm just going to finish now and just pray this trade out. All of these things, mercy over judgment, old man over new man, gold for insight and wisdom, the promises of God. So, Lord, we say the trading floor of heaven is open. And as we give up, you come and you fill up. As we decide to offer these things of change and these things to us, that you are faithful and just to come and bless us abundantly. I thank you for the surprise. I don't know who this is. Someone you did not save for retirement very well. You don't know where your money's coming from. You're very concerned about the rest of your life is going to look like. Lord, we pray for that person right now, that surprise come, that the Jesus pot from heaven comes and pours out on them. That you are giving them insight and knowledge for existence. And Lord, we say that the next 10, 20, 30 years, that they lack nothing. You say in the Bible that in Jesus Christ, we lack nothing. So we exchange our fears, our worries, those things in life, we exchange them right now for the fullness of God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for the work that you're doing in this body, for the work that you're doing in changing our hearts, mind, will, emotions, that we are a new man, that we are new women in the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have chosen, as we give up, you have chosen to give us more in abundance. We thank you for the transformed will, transformed mind, and the abundance of heaven, the abundance that's in the kingdom of God, the abundance of the throne room. We receive right now insight and knowledge from heavenly places. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If there's a trade that you're having difficulty making, like you know you need to make it, but that old man's just holding on to that and you want to trade it in for the goodness of heaven, people can pray with you for that today. Maybe it's sickness. I'm closing, but I felt like I needed to share this story. And I'm not really even sure what the principle is behind it. I like occasionally work out. I go through phases where I do it a lot and I'm kind of crazy about it. And then I'll take like a year or two off and then I'll get excited about it again. I've been kind of on an off year. But I had an injury and it hurts. It hurts when I get out of bed. It always hurts. And it's really painful and nobody knows what it is and I don't know what it is. And I couldn't work out. Not that I work out. I do like elliptical stuff. And I haven't been doing it because I'm like, it hurts. It's too painful. And so I've been waiting for this healing to come so I could work out again. And this week, the Lord was like, go ahead and work out. And I was like, this is going to hurt. This is going to be painful. I'm getting old. And so, you know, when you get older and something hurts, you don't get over it in 2 days. This has been going on for a long time. So he's like, go ahead and work out. So I go and I'm on the elliptical. Marshall's been there. Hey, Marshall. Marshall's workout is much different than my workout. And so I'm on the elliptical, and I'm like, oh, this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt tomorrow. This is. And it did. It hurt a lot. And about 15 minutes into it, the pain started to go away, and it started to get better. 2 days later, I went back, and I did it again, and the pain wasn't there, and I've been healed. This has been a pain that has been with me for 9 months. It's kept me off of the elliptical trainer for 9 months because in my mind, I was like, that's what's going to hurt a lot, and I'm not going to do it. But for some reason, the power of God, the working out of the muscle, I don't know. But what I dreaded the most was actually where my healing was at. It reminded me of those evangelists on TV where the person is, they're like, come on, work it, you know, pull them out of the wheelchair, just do it. You can walk, and they take like a couple steps. And you're like, is it the excitement? Is it the Lord? What's going on here? Why are they making them walk? Because they don't look like they should be walking. And then they walk some. But you see, it's the walk of taking it out in faith. I went to go on the elliptical trainer thinking that was going to hurt, and that by took the walk of the faith of doing it, and then the healing came. So there's a healing here today. I was pulling that one around for 9 months. So whatever your healing that you need, once again, today is the day for healing in this place. So if anybody needs prayer, you can come on up. We're going to dismiss for Sunday. If you need to go, go ahead. So Lord, bless us, our coming in and going out. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Amen.